What's up? Katlao Charlie here, and this is A Theatre Maker in Mzansi. Welcome, welcome back, guys. Welcome back. Let's see if we can get Albert back in so that we don't lose that momentum. Oh, yeah, this is a heavy one. Woo. Yeah, sitting right in it. So good to see you. We have Albert Ibokwe-Khoza here, chilling with us, having a good time with us, sharing the depths of his soul, sharing the depths of his journey, sharing some of those things that are maybe not so easy to talk about, discovering who you are, discovering what you're worth, and then realizing that where you would best like to, you know, use that gift, use that talent, use that purpose is the place where it is least respected, least acknowledged, least thought of. We have Ibokwe back.
Yeah, this was much needed. Thank you so much, everyone who's here with us today. It's good to see you guys. Oh, should have known.
I don't see myself. What's happening?
Now we see you and you look amazing. Damn.
Yeah, I know, but ooh. I know I look amazing.
maybe go out and come back in.
Just tell me when there's a snot or something like that. It's fine. All right. You see me, right?
Yeah, we see you. We always see you. We are always watching. And we are blessed to be able to see you now, you know, in the present. Oh, yes. Oof. Just like a masterclass in just being, you know, just to
be. This is literally something that I do for all my webinars. I hold symposiums with students in the UK, in America. Well, and I think this whole life situation that started it, it was happening before, but more now in the lockdowns. All these meetings, I'd be talking to potential investors and so on. And I don't know why it becomes that space again that I don't like. It becomes corporate and shit like that. Yeah. And I always do this just to throw them off, just to take those carrots out of their asses. Like, calm down, motherfuckers. I always do this. Like, this is I call it the live performance. So yeah. I always have things to play around with. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you for also curating an experience here with the episode, because this is like, it means that, you know, it'll always be unique. It'll always be this episode, and that's just special.
If you want gems, you will get gems. Not gems. Gems. Not gems. Gems. Not the gems, man.
Gems. Gems. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So you were still telling us about, you know, not the moment where you're realizing, but just like your experience of being a prophet, beyond a healer, beyond the borders of your own home.
I must be grateful to my ancestors, because one thing I've always said is I don't claim over my work. I am only a vessel, and I have people constantly asking me, how do you create? What's your process? My process is very simple, guys. It's smoking a cigarette under the stars. And then my ancestors speak to me. That's all it is. But my process basically, and the reason why I say I don't take so much ownership and so much claim for the work that I do is because, like I said, I'm only a vessel. And I get my work from my ancestors. I get my work from my angels. I get my work from Okoko Nomkhulu. And they want to express different things, you know? And I mean, just like the femicycle, the women were coming in a lot, you know, with their grievances. But the men were also coming in, you know? And just something to look out for is even just Oprah's character. You know, I positioned him in the mundane, man, destructful, and so on. Yeah. But there's also a point of urgency that he's he's bringing across, you know? He's bringing across the man who's trapped, the man who's not so vocal, the man who's bounded by a certain thinking, you know? So I literally, the thing is, I get my work from them, then I take them and I'm like, okay, I studied this. Okay, people, calm down. I studied this. So this will be like this, and this will be like this, and we'll have this, and so on, you know? Yeah. Because also, yeah. I look at what really happens. Sometimes I'm just like, so what costume should I have here? And I remember for Take and Take Out, I'd seen a Dinka cassette a long time ago. And in that moment when I'm questioning, a Dinka cassette came to mind. And that's how spirit works.
Yes.
You know, spirit works as if you're thinking. That's how they communicate. You see? Some DVD. In your mind. And they're like, yo, motherfucker, do this. And that's literally my process. So I can't really have a moment where I feel, Liteng, Kat, I haven't made it. I don't believe I've made it. I'm literally on the first step of the long step ladder, you know?
Albert, if you're on the first step, where do we find ourselves? We haven't even started.
No, but that's your own problem.
Yes, I know.
I'm kidding. It's a joke. Look,
I need to find a hat. Please keep going. I need to have a costume change because they're saying, Linda, I'm underdressed. So please keep going.
Wow. Don't be pressurized, Papa. Don't be pressurized. You guys are mean. Okay. Hi, everybody. I haven't even read the comments.
Just for my fans. Just for my fans because I know that they're going to There you go. All right, cool. Welcome, y'all. Welcome, everybody. Sure.
Hi, everyone. I'm trying to see if I know certain faces. Hi, Jimmy. Okay. Hi, Teresa. Okay. There are people I know here. Yes. Okay, cool. All right.
It's all the people that you know and love. It's all those people who are crying the same tears you are, who are feeling the same things that you are, you know?
So it's too much.
It's too much. The community. It is the community.
Yeah.
So, like, also, there's this sense of, like, you... when you were speaking about your spiritual journey, and like I noticed that it happened as well when you're speaking about your artistic journey, is that there is the freedom to allow things to come, right? To allow things to emerge from wherever they're emerging from. But then there is the moment in which the structure actually does become important, right? So like someone might look at it and think that, you know, it is just formless, it is just, you know, random. But like you just said now, you know, when these things come to you, there's a point at which your training then comes in and it says, okay, this here and then that there, and then move this like this and like that, you know. So can you talk to me about that negotiation of what is free form and then what is structured, and like how you package what is free and present it in such a way that it can be consumed by others? I guess, sure. You know, does that make sense?
It does make sense. It makes pure sense. And I mean, it's the one question. It's like the one question I get asked all the time. It's no different to getting the question of what's real and what's not. What is it real or is it not real? And I guess it goes back to what I said in the beginning, which is the reason why I didn't want to work with people at first. It's because I understand how deep in the work I can throw myself or invest myself in it. But also I must make sure I don't get lost in that, you know? Yeah. And yes, like I say, I receive everything. And then in my head, I'm like, okay, this and that. But I do leave the space open for exactly that, you know, where... And I mean, these are even terms that are in conversations right now that I get asked a lot. Trance work, ritual work, blah blah blah, going in, going in where, and all that rubbish. But it's basically, for me, I always have a skeleton. And the skeleton has tappings and untappings. And tappings to get into a moment and to live the moment, no matter how long it takes. But there also has to be a moment of untapping. So I also have to make sure now that I'm working with people, and it happens a lot in femicide. I mean, Opa loses himself. He literally, Shem, he goes... but I have to be so aware in the space to not be lost within mine and make sure the space is safe for him too.
Yeah.
And try bring him back and try bring Lerato back, because I had to find people who create from the soul, who create from within, who create from the spirituality, who create from just being bare and just being vulnerable. Because that's all it is at the end of the day. It's being bare and it's being vulnerable. It's not praying to some God and then your God takes you or your ancestors take you or you'll end up in wherever, or Sehlathini, as some people put it. It is part of that. But I always create a skeleton, and my skeleton is with music, is with vocal untappings. So... Yeah. So we could be gunning into a moment and we go deep and deep, but there has to be something that will make us come back and realize it's a performance. It doesn't take the whole day. Yeah. We don't have the whole day in the space. Yeah. We have the audience who might also end up in the same place that we are. So we must come back so that we can come back. And that's also a thing that I love with the work that I create. I don't want it just to, there's no fourth wall, you know, and that's why I have people standing in my shows. That's why I have no seating in my shows. And then of course it goes back into that whole question of ritual and people participating and trying to find those eloquent expressions on the work and blah, blah, blah. But, I just create skeletons, you know, a whole skeleton, and it should have moments to help us go deeper and help us to come back. But to, most importantly, be vulnerable in the moment, in the time, and be truthful, most importantly. It's not an act for us. It's not performing for us. It's something deeper. It's our calling. It's what we call to. If you can't be vulnerable for someone else, how can anyone be vulnerable for anyone else? You know, so it's who we are. It's our existence. And we are lucky enough to be artists and have the will and the mobility to go there, wherever there is. You know, I remember in varsity, there was a lecturer, I don't like raising it much because it's a controversial figure, but he loves saying, well, go there. You must go there. Not go where. I think for me that's the most important thing, to create a skeleton, most importantly for the people that I work with, but also for understanding that I'm a person who works with the physical and the cosmic world. And that's what helps me do the work that I do, because now it's not just physical. It's not just the tangible, you know. It's what can happen, you know. And some people don't know that thing. Some people have never experienced it. But it's the most fulfilling thing on earth, I think, as a person, as an artist.
It's sort of like, you know, what you're saying is almost like if I was watching a documentary by Tate Begim Seleku, and you know, he was also speaking about the fact that, you know, when, you know, he's playing, one of the things that really irritates him is the fact that a recording session has a set time and that a performance has a set time, you know, and for him he just liked to keep on going. So when that impulse comes, you know, how do you negotiate, you know, with all the forces that are in the space, that but guys, we actually have to bring this thing to a close, you know. The theater said, yeah, we have until 8:30. I know that we're just in new spaces, but like, how do we bring it back so that, you know, we can contain it? And do you think that in containing it, we are shortchanging ourselves, that we should just be allowing it to keep going? Or do you think that it's necessary that sometimes we bring it to a close?
I think we are cheating ourselves by shortening it. Because what happens in those moments is what we need. And it's something that we had as a people, but because we live in such fast-paced times, it's something that we slowly pulled out and couldn't engage so much into it. Because it does need you to be centered. It does need you to forget about everything else, you know? And I personally do it just to make sure also that the people I'm working with are fine and they're safe. Because also in that moment of the cosmic world, anything can happen, you know? You can find a person banging their head on the wall. So it has to be a safe space, you know? It has to be a safe space also for my audience that comes in. So I'm looking at that moment, caring myself and what's happening here, but also caring an entire space. But I do fucking wish...
So sorry to interject, but no. Would you say that the time that you spent, you know, doing all of the work alone was preparation for you to be able to lead others in this work?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. In a way. I mean, there was the fear of just working with people, but I think it did actually kind of prepare me to make other people consciously understand what happens in those moments.
Sure. Sorry for that interjection. Yeah. You were still saying.
But yeah, it is something beautiful, you know. It is something so. I only wish certain people can feel or can go through it, you know, and can go through it with an open mind and just let it happen. There's some people when it does come, they're like, and then they just find ways to block it out right away. But it is, it's no different to how people ask me what happens if those muscles figile as a sangoma, you know, and they take over your body. And I tell them, imagine dancing for 4 hours, but you don't get tired. And in all of that, you find a space to breathe and relax and calm the fuck down.
Don't get tired anymore.
And just be carried. And we fear that space. And it's so unfortunate. And we put time on it. And it's so unfortunate. For me, I hope, I wish to have a day where I could literally perform for the whole day.
Yeah.
I think it's still going to happen. It should happen. So, yeah.
Please call us when you do that. Please do let us
know. No. I'll call you, but I don't know. I'll call you, of course. Generous being. And that's if you will hear about it.
Yes, because, obviously. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just looking at the struggle. So Opa and I were talking about this at the time, and excess is a huge problem in this country. But also, the people who create excess and the people who block the excess, you know. I've had my shows almost I don't know how many shows in Joburg, you know, but I can't reach the masses. It's expensive to reach the masses, you know. And I always make sure it's accessible for the masses, you know. But I can never have my friends who are in media, who work for newspapers, who work on TV, to be like, friend, come through, come talk about your work, come promote your work.
Yeah.
I can never have my friends who know people also to be like, Ngani, hook this person up, you know?
Sure.
That's a form of excess we should start talking about, you know? And it goes back to that thing I didn't want to talk about of the industry and so on. Because again, what is unconventional will not sell. And that's the problem.
The entire language is centered around what sells, you know. It's not
what
about
what sells and what is commercial, you know. Yeah. And for me, I'm not even there, you know. Yeah. I'm not there. I don't want to be rich, even though I want to be comfortable, guys. But I don't want the million mansion life shit like that. And I've made it with materialistic shit. I don't want that, you know. But I want my work to be accessible to people. As a cultural worker, that's what I run for and I gun for.
So can I come to another, to the second quote? I had two quotes.
Yes.
So the second quote goes, I search for belonging in a world of many groupings, questioning theories of those who have long gone of how people should live their lives. I remember the modern maroons in my life as I try to bring to the surface how I see differently, because I am an Azanian influenced by tradition and culture, but I don't allow such factors to restrict me and the way I behave or live my life. I will become the man that I want to be, and I will slaughter the cow like a man and dance like a woman because I am Igbo. That is...
Who said that?
Was it not you? It was someone else was using that your voice.
Was that me?
Could I read it again? Maybe you've forgotten. I search for belonging in a world of many groupings, questioning theories of those who have long gone, how people should live their lives. I remember the modern maroons in my life as I try to bring to the surface how I see differently, because I am an Azanian influenced by tradition and culture, but I don't allow such factors to restrict me and the way I behave or live my life. I will become the man that I want to be, and I will slaughter the cow like a man and dance like a woman because I am Ibokwe.
It's all coming back, so coming back to me now.
Tell us about this moment. This moment of and flashes of light. Tell us about it.
No, it's back now. It's here now. I feel it. Yeah. I feel it. Yeah.
I had to add the performative voice, no, just so that you could click.
Do radio, my guy. Do radio. Even though you don't have the face for radio, do radio.
Thank you so much. That's actually quite a compliment. But
that's all my radio assholes. I'm kidding.
Okay. Come with it, please. Tell us about where you were at when you were writing this quote. Sure, Opa.
Mike. We catch you on fire too. Opa. Opa. Hi, Opa Easy. Opa's my husband.
Oh, bless.
Shit, where was I when that was all happening?
If you want to reflect on what it means to you, you know, in the current moment.
Sure. I think it's the moment in time where I started really becoming conscious of who I am in different spaces. Or rather, what is expected of me in different spaces that I find myself.
Okay.
And like I say, it's very difficult being us. It's very difficult being an artist. And I'm not talking about landing up with a script and learning lines, but also that is very difficult. But also the kind of artists who give so much of themselves, and these are artists who create their own works. I think also at that point I started looking at life. I think I just come out of varsity also. I started traveling internationally. I started seeing what happens when I do travel internationally and what happens at home. I started seeing what happens.
Can you talk about that, the difference in how your work is received here versus abroad later? You can, sorry to
interject. No, but sure, definitely. Definitely. And I just started to see the different changes that I'm going through and the different changes that people are going through or the world is going through around me. You know, I started questioning a lot of things. I started to sit down with myself, most importantly, because yes, I knew who I am and I understood who the forever evolving being is, you know, but also I had to start also understanding I'm forever evolving, but the world is evolving very fast than I am. So where do I place myself? Where do I place myself at home? Where do I place myself when I'm abroad? Where do I place myself as a being? Within my own spaces, within my family, within life itself, you know? And once again, it went back to the whole thing of culture and tradition and so on. I think that's also in the time that I was being Twasa and starting to understand my alignment and my spiritual alignment and my invincible entourage here at the back of me and in front of me and on my sides, all these beings. That quote came about as a moment of reflection more than anything, you know. It came about, but also just centering yourself and grounding yourself. I believe in centering and grounding the self so that you can keep up with anything that happens, so that you're not too shocked and you're not thrown off. So I think it was a moment of reflection and kind of finding my way.
So what does Ibokwe mean to you? What does it symbolize for you in your life?
So Ibokwe being a goat, but Ibokwe being the goat in our culture, in our tradition, in our religion, the site of sacrifice, the site of making one's or others' lives better, the site of not living for yourself, the site of, all our rituals, goat down to appease, goat down to cleanse, goat down to bring about change, goat down to ask, goat down to whatever. You know, and I believe I was that. I'm a sacrifice. I'm not here for myself. I am not here just for me. And hence I said that I'm a healer through and through. And becoming a healer, you have to understand that it's not about you, Mother Effa. It's not about you. So I had to also make peace with that, because it's difficult. It's difficult. It's too much. It's too much being a young person, and take up on such a gift. It's difficult being an artist and to do the things that you do as an artist. It is difficult. It's not easy. And at the end of the day, as much as you taking or making life better for yourself, it's for the betterment of others. You know? So that's what Ibokwe is. I am the sacrifice.
I'm sure if more people were to discover this perspective when thinking about what it means to be an artist, I think we have less people, you know, being so taken in by what is the glamour of it. You know, we don't talk about, you know, this role that we have, you know, and we like to talk about it as a calling, but like we never talk about what that actually means for us, right? Which means that we are vessels at the end of the day. We want to actually be the thing. We want to be the thing that is glorified. Kind of, we're actually the ones that bring focus to what should be glorified.
Yeah.
Man. Sure. I wanted to ask, so yes, can we go back to that that idea of, you know, the reception of your work here at home versus the reception of your work abroad?
When I work at home, I lose a lot of money. Why? Why? When I work at home, I lose a lot of money, guys. I fail to understand this concept. I just fail to understand this concept.
What do you mean?
When I work at home, I lose a lot of money. And I mean, this is just me being petty me, but also it is a thing.
Yeah.
But literally, and besides how my work is received everywhere else in the world and here, I just noticed how to make it easy for myself. So the one thing I do is I go abroad and come back and do my job in this country and do the work that I do.
Okay.
You know, because I'm not funded. Because remember the rejection I was talking about from the theaters? I faced the rejection from the funders and the people who have access. Mm-hmm. And so I just took a decisive decision. I was like, oh, okay, there's the international market that is here. So I will go abroad and I will come back and I will fund my own work. And in that, I'll also try create employment for other people.
Yeah.
You know, sacrifice once again. So I don't even like talking about my work being received better somewhere else in the world than it is at home. Mm-hmm. It's something that's been happening. Like I said, it's not about me at the end of the day. It's something that's been happening in this country for years. This country has lost a lot of gems to a lot of countries everywhere in the world, you know? And I won't talk about Makeba. It was a different time, a different setting and so on.
Yeah, yeah. It made sense in that time that they wouldn't be revered.
Yeah.
Strange sense, but sense nonetheless. Like now, it's just like...
Now it's just like, you know, so I am grateful that my work is accepted somewhere else more. But Liteng, Kat, my biggest dream and my biggest wish is to still perform in and around Africa. Let's leave South Africa, you know.
Yeah.
Let's leave South Africa. South Africa's got its own politics, guys. Gakuishwa is South Africa, guys. Ganyiwa, and I'm the nicest. So we all know how my work is accepted more in other countries and how I'm loved more in other countries and how I'm respected more in other countries. It's okay. I'm not the first, I am not the last, you know. You know, for me, it's just become a labored conversation, this whole thing, because I don't see it changing anytime soon. I don't see it changing anytime soon. It's something that has once again, we talk about the industry. You know, what will we say that hasn't been spoken about?
No, maybe let's
or has it done before?
Let's bring in the people in the comments because they're actually adding on to this very aspect. Obare,
okay.
We're always digging in our pockets at home. you know, auswarana are marketing, publicity, gatekeeping, low pay rates, etc. Majamela are mutomotsu are you lose money because you are paying for access to space, to audience, to media, to everything. The reality is that we have a system that is rigged towards hating creativity and talent. One day we're going to have to say, fuck it, they'll watch me on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. You see why I don't want to talk about it? Because it's exactly that. And it's exactly what I'm doing now. You know? What Majamela is saying is true. What Warren is saying is true. Hi, by the way, guys, these are my two people. Majamela, no, Arona. Warona taught me, guys, before becoming a friend. Warona taught me.
Oh, shout out. A nice reunion out here.
Yo. People, hi, guys. And even Lebo Hamutakong is here. You couldn't catch
all the people. All your people are here.
No, I love this. I love this. But it's exactly that. And I'm still doing it, you know? Yeah, I'm still paying for my fucking marketing. At the Soweto fucking theater, what has changed? When will it change?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's one of those conversations. Like, for me, how many platforms will we be on talking about the same thing and there's no change? So now I'm just like, okay, whatever. Let me create the work for the people. Let me do what I do. I understand all of the bullshit, all of the system, the politics, the so on. I'm a healer, guys. If I don't vomit healing, I will die. It will kill me. You know? So I will do that. I will go abroad and come back and find my own work and make sure the people see it. I will do that. Because also my work is land up on YouTube, you know. I mean, I'll speak the truth. I'm very blunt. Like I said, I've come to that point. I guess it's with growth and, like I said, understanding worth. Femicycle was supposed to happen in August.
Yeah.
And the Soweto Theatre called me the week before I was supposed to have the show there. And it was the lockdown. So in my head, I was like, okay, they're keeping quiet because of the lockdown. So, okay, we must just all understand situations, you know. But then this girl calls me and she's like, remember you booked the space and this and that. I'm like, so you're calling me a week before the show. Have you done your marketing? Have you prepared for this? Do you know who I am? And then she was like, yeah, but we could do online. And then I was like, you definitely don't know my work. You don't deserve me right now. You, bye-bye. You know? Because of that, man. I mean.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah.
The work itself is exhausting. Now there's this added element of having to be all of these other things. Ish. Yeah. Majamela re so it theater say le goma weekend. But home. Ish. Yes, we're still here. Can you hear me?
I hear you very well and clearly.
Oh, cool.
But now my face is back on. Look at that. Hey.
Oh, you can see yourself now.
Now I can see myself. Maybe we need a button for me to see myself. Yeah. Because vain. I'm very vain. Who's next in line? Okay. Yes.
Mm. Yes, the next look. So let's say I'm a young, you know, upcoming performance artist, you know, theater maker. I see myself as someone who is many things at the same time. And I'm trying to come to terms with, like, you know, my own journey, my own career, and I'm realizing that I see things differently from how, you know, the so-called mainstream is seeing things and is moving through the world. So what kind of advice would you give to, like, youths who are about to enter the space that you have been engaging in for a while and have learned how to, you know, not just survive, but like thrive in, to the extent at least that you're able to do the work that brings your purpose alive.
Prepare yourself for hell. I'm kidding. No, I'm not, actually.
No, you're
I'm
not. Not.
No, no, I'm not. Not.
Yeah.
I'm not. Oof.
Yeah.
I...
There's no easy way to put it.
No, there isn't. You know, I remember... I remember I worked with a certain choreographer and she had worked with other people. And those other people in the time that we had worked with this person, because I'm very vigilant like that, so I suss a lot of bullshit out. And this mm-hmm. person I was working with was very bullshitty. But then those very same people who are considered my older brothers and sisters end up asking me, how was it? How was it? And then I told them in detail this was happening. And they were like, oh, she still does that. And I was like, but why didn't you warn me as my older brothers and sisters? You know? Yeah. I'm going to warn young upcoming people or people who have seen the light to understand that the light also has darkness. There's no easy way to say this. Look, do you and do your best. And understand whatever it is that you do and understand why you're doing it. And also understand this industry won't baby you and this industry will eat you alive. But do you and do the best of you and do whatever light you have within you. Don't let it be dimmed by anything or anyone. And you know, I love how we keep on saying to people, go study, go do this and that. But that thing can also dim your light. Studying can also dim your light, you know? So do study if you do study,
yeah.
But also shadow people, no. Shadow your artists, intern for them, tell them you just want to be within their space and their middens, and play around. The world is evolving. The world of theatre is evolving. Not theatre angora, text space. Young Bora, like, young Bora. Like, have a play, go make a theater, and like, count me out. Young Bora, but you have like the accent, I'm kidding. I'm not, actually. But also, I mean, understand that the world is changing and the world is evolving, right? Yeah. And so the work must start evolving. And by it evolving, I don't mean dilute or limit yourself or make small or don't invest as much, you know? I mean, like... I'm sorry, I'm literally having moments where I'm thinking back to myself and Kujo sitting in an auditorium and you actually fell asleep, which never happens. Yeah, Come Back at Theatre, directed by some other man. Some other man and his monotonous faces. And we know those monotonous faces. We will not mention names. We know those monotonous faces. Those faces are like any production. Like, it never happens, guys. It never, but yeah. Kujo and I slept. And literally, we're walking up by people entering. So as soon as there's a new character coming, just, we'd be like, and then 1, 2, 3, it's like, gone. But also, I mean, understand that what's happening right now. Find different ways to express yourself, you know? Find different mediums to express yourself. And I keep going online. I keep going to this video, guys. Keep going to collaborate also. Work with different people. You can still be that as this, that, I mean, it's beautiful, and I'm not saying, I'm not shining down on it, but since I know about the way that Sizwe Banzi's did, like, 2020.
Yes.
Collaborate with people, collaborate with designers. I remember the first time I watched Eclipsed by Warona. Directed by Warona with Mutlu, and
there's no work for that work. And the fact that we haven't seen it, it hasn't become, you know, the way that musicals become part of like the lexicon, like the national history in the moment, like that was a show that I watched and I felt like this is something that should still be here. And
I remember when Kujo did Heavy Sin Zandi, Lebo Momo, Lebo Zetu. And works like that, because I think also, shucks, the world works in the most beautiful way. Karma works in the most beautiful way. Where there is struggle, something beautiful will come out of it, you know? And I think that's what happened with both those productions, hence they like very upfrontal within my medulla oblongata, but very, yeah. Fuck, man, we won't be exposed to such greatness the way things are going, you know? But to young people who are coming up, Shadow, do your research among these people, you know? Collaborate, work with different artists, work with dancers, work with actors, work with fine artists, work with musicians, work with digital people, work with everyone. Try things out, fail and having tried. The world is moving like this, you know? And getting into the international market, tech space, I don't say it's a tech space. Like English. English.
Sure. They want to see you.
But also, understand what's happening in and around the world so that, yes, most of us can move from here and find better lives on the other side. You know, crippling as it is, hard as it is, sad as it is, but it's what we need to do for our existence.
I think you, in that point, you know, Aswarona are such a beauty. Have you seen Zandile? And then Majamela and Morapelinga out here trolling. Say it, his name starts with a J. Surname starts with a J. I'm glad I'm not on the air of any radio station.
I don't understand why they are my friends. Because they'll be like, his name starts with a J. No, fuck it. Those are the people. And not awkward.
This entire season is really about like trying to figure out, you know, what's happening to people who are used to working in the live medium, right? For lack of a better term, we'll call it theater, but like for you, it's in your performance art that happens in the galleries. And I think what you've just said now, it actually sums up what we should be doing, you know, like listening to that creative impulse and then allowing it to become new things, to go beyond what we already know. I was having a conversation with Polisi, and we were saying, you know, like, if you look at your circle, you know, five of the six people that are next to you do the exact same thing that you do. So, like, you know, you're feeding each other the same view of the world, you know, whereas if you were to find someone who is doing something a little bit differently than you are, you may discover new things, not only about the world, but about yourself, right? Like, because you're not stretched or pushed into new spaces when you're constantly, you know, dealing with the same things. But it's when a new problem is set before you that, you know, you have to start thinking in new ways. There's the thought that, you know, when you go to a new space, and maybe you can confirm this, right? If you go to a new place in the world where you haven't been before, different parts of your brain actually start being active. You know, different parts of your own genetic code start to, you know, play with the ones that have been playing, because new ideas are being formed, new ways of living in the world are being formed, but those things were already inside of you. Has that been your experience too?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Look, there's a language that is starting to transpire amongst artists. And some people are claiming on it. I remember Buhlebezwe were kept on questioning this thing of now everybody is using Bepo in the theater. And then, of course, because, you know, she thought she's the one who came up with it. Buhlebezwe was the one. Yeah, no, that girl. She's a weird one. She's my friend. And that's what I can talk about. But I mean, you just look at that, you know, where, and yes, we understand Babankiro Foster, Shem Mafoster, but this is a language that's starting to happen, you know, within the theatrical space. There was a time you watched every show and there was a suitcase or an umbrella, and it literally grinded my man boobs. But it was the language, you know.
Or a crate. You know, don't forget the good old crate. Yeah. Sure.
It's a language that's starting to pop up, and I guess it's a form of a how do we put it within the English language? You see, I told you, 5 o'clock, English goes out the window. It's a form of reflection of the time.
Yeah.
It's a form of a need or a yearning. It's a form of it's a new thing. It's a new construct. It's a new form of expression, you know. But also I've kind of looked at what it signifies for me, seeing that, you know, it's where it's more and more people are questioning this thing of what's real and what's not. And, trying to find their identity within those spaces. And trying to find an identity for the work, you know, and then, of course, you know, the thing that you spoke about with your mind going qua in new spaces. I mean, just now filming, I've always said I don't want to work in television, but of course, you understand the circumstances of this country will lead you as an artist to start doing television work. But then also, of course, I was lucky to have this kind of work and to work with kind of director, which I mean, Kubega. And becoming cultural advisor and becoming the one to choreograph certain, choreograph the dances and to create the music and just to be behind the scenes, which is something I've never done before, within a film or TV
like
set.
The pulse of the show, you know, it's sort of like you're giving the show its rhythm.
And you're giving the world the psyche, and you're giving the world an identity, you know.
Yeah, I love that.
It was really interesting for me to be in such a space, also in the time, also now, you know, because I've been too focused on my work. You know, it was so interesting to be commissioned by someone else to do this for them, you know? Because Jamil saw Red Femicide. Red Femicide.
And that's fucking clever.
You know? And then it was like, create these worlds for me. Create this life for me. Create these people for me. Create these ambiances for me. Create these rituals. Create the music. Create the language, the tone, and so on, you know? And what a duty, you know? But also, the fun I had, I mean, obviously now I'm coming into a setup I've never been in. It's the TV world. And the scene.
Sure.
I knew also coming in, I had to just be myself. So I was still the weird kid on set, you know? I was still that one guy who walks barefoot on set. And that drives them crazy, you know? When the 80s are like, what's happening? I'm like, do you have a problem? Talk to the director. He hired me, not you.
Thank you.
You know? Like, and that whole thing of the theatrical world where you're loud, and the thing is, they gave me a radio that I have to talk into, and it goes into my ear. That shit didn't work for me because I'd be like, no, that is about to happen. And they're like, your radio. I'm like, fuck this radio. Take this radio away from me. And over time, they started adjusting to
project. Project. You know,
how I work, you know, sure. Because I can't now work in a TV mode with the work that I bring and the kind of things that I'm expected to do, you know? This one time we were having a chicken, I was like, no, 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 no. And the DOP got so frustrated. Who is saying no, 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 during my fucking take? I'm like, calm the fuck down. I need to fix this, you know? So it was interesting to have those
come together.
It was also interesting bringing the spiritual element onto a TV set.
Yeah, in an authentic kind of way, right?
In an authentic kind of way, you know, where we do our research, but we're also reclaiming and claiming, you know. So it was, for me, all of these things were interesting, but also it was that confirmation once again why I hated television. Now, as the actor, you know, and acting with other people. But
talk about. You don't like playing with other kids in your court, unless they are able to be as free as you are, you know.
No. The thing is, I like playing with other kids. I like playing with other kids, guys. I studied theater, and I did theater before, and I'm an actor. You know, besides being a performance artist, I'm an actor. But you know, sometimes you get to work with not so generous actors. And also actors who are just Barbie dolls. And this is what I didn't want to get into the whole thing of the industry. So for me, it was an interesting moment for myself, also as an artist, to finally add new credentials on my fucking resume and be like, bitch, I'm a performance coach. On a TV set, bitch, I'm a cultural advisor. On a movie set, like, bitch, I'm a fucking movie set.
Pause, you know? pause. We're about to be kicked out again. Yeah, let's come back to our last session real quick.
I'm kidding.
All right, we'll be back now.